right, so, you know, Pastor and Becky are up in Minnesota because it's Becky's mother's 98th birthday. So something that unusual has to happen for them to ask me to talk. So, and I think, you know, this probably is going to be a one-off. So I had to keep that in mind as I was preparing, right, because it takes a while for them to forget how bad I was before they ask me again. So, you know, I was thinking about it after Pastor asked me to do this. I'm like, what should I talk about, right? Well, we're at prayer meeting. Let's talk about prayer. Now, I know you guys are sitting there and you're thinking, well, what can I learn from Don on prayer? Well, the good news is I'm not going to tell you what I think about prayer. I'm going to use the perfect example, right? In the Bible, we have Jesus, who is 100% God and 100% man. And he came on this earth, and he lived, and he taught us a lot of things in the New Testament, right? And one of the things he taught us was how to pray, both through his example and then also in his teachings. So that's what we're going to look at, right? So this is what Jesus is teaching us about prayer. Now, clearly, I could probably do a study and probably challenge Pastor for as many sermons as he can get out of a book of the Bible, you know, on the subject of prayer. But I'm going to have a consolidated one here, and I'm going to, you know, hit a number of things. We're going to do a lot of verses. The good news, well, the bad news is I didn't look up the page numbers, but the good news is it's all in Matthew and Luke. All right, which are near the beginning of the New Testament. So hopefully you'll be able to find the passages with me so you can read along as we start. So I want to start first by looking at Luke chapter 6, and I'm going to read verses 12 and 13. So Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. I'll give you a second to find those. Okay, and so it says, and it came to pass in those days that he, this is Jesus, went out to a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose the 12 that were to be named, that he also named apostles. All right, so what do we learn from this? Here we have God, who is man, right? But he's 100% God. And he found it so important that he was going to pray. And it wasn't just, okay, I'm going to take 15 minutes, 30 minutes. I'm going to pray all night. Even though I'm God, I'm going to pray all night. You know, I mean, so it was an intense prayer. And what did he do in the second verse? What do you guys see down there? Called the 12. And so the neat thing about this, this is an example of God seeing the importance of prayer, talking to his Father, God, the Father in heaven, and getting his wisdom as he makes a major decision. You know, now clearly God knows everything from beginning to the end. You know, he always has been, always will be. He's all-knowing. And so even though his body was only alive for so many years at that point, he was still God, so he knew everything. He knew exactly who he should call as disciples or as apostles, right? But yet, he took the time and prayed, and then he recorded it in Scripture. So what does that teach us? When you have important decisions to make, isn't it important that we go to God in prayer? And we seek his wisdom, we seek his guidance, we seek his leading. If God in man's form needs to do that, wants to do that, finds it that important, in fact, bathes it in that much prayer, shouldn't I, as complete human, very imperfect, shouldn't I be doing the same, seeking that wisdom? As you get older, some of us are in that category, right? You get to look back and you get to see the way the Lord moves. And I remember, well, we all face situations, right, where you know you got to make a major decision. And one thing that I've always learned is, you know, when the Lord opens a door, start walking towards it, pray to Him, and say, God, if this is your perfect will, keep that door open. If it's not, slam it. And God's been faithful at doing that. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, how do we make decisions? You know what I mean? I mean, we have to, in what He brings our way, we have to try to, like, see, is this your will? Do you want me to do this? You know? And you know, there's situations that, well, I remember some job interviews, I went to like the third level interview. It was the last person I needed to talk to in the company. And I thought, Lord's opening this door. That's my next opportunity. I'm going. You know, that's what the Lord wants me to do. And that door slammed immediately in that last person. The hiring manager wanted me, HR wanted, but the last person, it just all of a sudden closed. And it was God's perfect will. You know, I know that. Anyway, I think it's we need to follow Jesus' example in bathing things in prayer when decisions come our way. You know, it's awful tempting, you know, oh, I can handle this. The American spirit, right? We're very independent, right? What we need to be is very dependent on God, you know, because, you know, we know better, right? We know better from the scripture. You know, the Lord's taught us, you can't predict what's going to happen. You know, there's all kinds of things that are surprises. So now let's turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, I'm going to read verses 15 through 23. Matthew 14, and I'm going to read 15 through 23. All right, here we go. And when it was evening, his disciples come to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the village and buy themselves victuals." And Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they said unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes." He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude, and they did eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, the 12 baskets full, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained the disciples to get on a ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent away the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain to pray. And when it was evening, when evening was come, he was there alone. Okay, and so here the Lord and his disciples had been teaching and preaching all day long to this multitude of 5,000 people and their families, right? And in fact, they were so concerned that he needed to feed them, right? And so the miracle where he takes, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he feeds the 5,000, and they have like 12 baskets afterwards, right? That happened. And so after that, the Lord sent away the disciples, sent away the multitude, And then he went to the Lord in prayer. So what can we learn from this? Jesus prayed after serving God. He spent the day serving God, you know, ministering to people, teaching them, you know. And then after that, he prayed. And you know, he went alone and prayed for a while, because, again, when he ends up walking on the water of the Sea of Galilee after this, you know, they're far out there, and they're in this big storm, right, and when he comes walking up. So it wasn't like they were just, oh, okay, they got offshore. You know, it wasn't a 5-10 minute prayer. This is hours probably before he started going out and walking up to them. You know, when we serve the Lord and we do different things in ministry, it can be exhausting. It can be tiring. Do we just collapse? Or do we go to God and pray? You know, because at the end of the day, it's God the Father and God the Spirit that need to minister to that, to those people that we just, you know, work with. You know, we need to bathe what we do before and after we serve in prayer. And you know, because it's through the power of the Lord, you know. Clearly, you can tell in anything I'm doing, it's not because of me. It's despite me. you know, it's really because of God. It's Jesus working. You know, that's who needs to work. You know, the Spirit, you know, helps us understand what's in the Scripture and speaks to our hearts. So, you know, keep that in mind. You know, we should be praying after we're ministering, after we're serving God. You know, it's like, well, I do that once a month. Well, maybe we should do that more frequently. you know, so, but we should be serving God regularly, and we should be bathing it in prayer before we're doing it and then after we're doing it. You know, and so extravaganza coming up, right? All the connections. Try to remember the people by name that you talked with. You know, pray for them by name. You know, help the Lord. Hopefully, will, you know, do wonderful things from that. If you turn a little further to Matthew chapter 26, I'm going to read verses 30 through 46. Matthew 26, verses 30 through 46, and it says, "And when they had sung a hymn, and they went out unto the Mount of Olives, then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, My Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he unto his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise, and let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And so, clearly, this is just before he's going to be going to be crucified, right, for our sins. You know, this is probably, well, this is Jesus' biggest trial on earth, right? I mean, certainly he was tempted in the wilderness, but this was the purpose of him being here, and it was the biggest trial. Now, he was God, and you know, as a human, clearly he didn't look forward to going into what he was doing, but as he repeated many times, God, your will be done. I will do what you want me to do. Your will be done. God thought it was so important. God, in the form of Jesus, thought it so important to seek his Father, to seek his direction before his trial. On earth, as humans, we face all kinds of trials. Nothing as large as what Jesus faced. But we have all kinds of trials, right? Challenges that we run into. Obstacles. Are we seeking the Lord's? You know, if you think about it, when you go to God in prayer, and you say, hey, you know, Lord, deliver me. But if you don't, Lord, I will do what you want me to do. I'm going to, you know, your will be done. If you're doing that, what are you doing, right? You're recognizing God is in control, right? You are seeking his will. If he chooses to help you through the situation, great. If he doesn't, you're still willing to do what God wants you to do. You know, if we go into trials ill-equipped, we're trying to do it on our own. Sometimes that's why we get down in a quagmire, you know, we're like, you know, in sinking sand, you know what I mean? It doesn't seem to ever end. Why? I'm trusting myself, I'm not trusting God. I'm not bathing it in prayer. I'm not seeking God's will, God's direction. You know, and so again, Jesus, 100% God, 100% man too, but he thought it was so important to bathe in prayer when he had trials coming. You know, again, shouldn't we follow his example? All right, I want to turn to just one verse in Luke 11, verse 1, and then we're going to go to the sister passage. But I wanted to read this one first because, you know, in each of the books, they sometimes have the same story and the same, you know, example, but there's some different wording that bring up different things, right? Because they're focused on a different angle, you know, to the same event. And so Luke 11:1, it says, And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, and as John also taught his disciples. So first of all, here are the disciples witnessing Jesus praying. Wouldn't that be amazing? To be able to see firsthand him praying. And clearly, when a human sees God the Son praying, you realize, you know what? I got a lot I can learn. Right? Again, it can be a lifelong lesson on prayer. We can preach about it in so many different messages, and we can, you know, we're never going to be, arrive, you know, I know how to pray better than anybody. You know what I mean? It's something that we can always improve, always grow, etc. But in this passage, we're going to go turn to Matthew 6, 9 through 13, which is the sister passage, because I want to read about the Lord's Prayer in that passage. But this is what the Lord's response was to that question: teach us to pray, right? Because he gave us the Lord's Prayer. And then I want to just look at what does the Lord's Prayer teach us. All right, I'm going to try to do this fairly concise. And it says in verse 9 of chapter 6 of Matthew, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." For I'm going to stop there at 13, right? All right, I want to take a look at each verse. So let's start at verse 9. It says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." So what is Jesus doing here in this? What kind of example is he giving to us? First of all, when we pray, we talk to God, right? We're talking, in actuality, we're talking to God the Father through God the Son, Jesus, right? He allows us to approach him. But what does he do in the second half here? It says, "Hallowed be thy name." Jesus is recognizing God's holiness and giving God the glory, right? It's important for us to understand when we go to prayer who we're talking to. We're talking to God the Father, who quite frankly, I'm so unworthy to talk to. You know? It's only the gift of Jesus that allows me to talk to him. But to have the privilege and for God the Father to actually want to hear from us and seek it out from us and ask us to come to him, it's an amazing thought. But when we pray, we need to remember who it is, address him as God, and praise him in our prayer. You know? Verse 10, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven." We should desire God's will in everything. You know, it's so easy as a human. Well, if it just works this way, that'd be perfect. Oh, that would be wonderful. You know? I remember back in my life, there are so many things I wish would have happened. I thank God he was merciful and didn't let them happen the way I wanted them to, because I'm so ignorant, you know, and so foolish and so nearsighted. God is all-knowing, always has been, always will. He knows the outcome. He knows how everything is going to work together for good. You know, even when Jesus died on the cross, it worked together for good. You know? He knows the perfect outcome. Why should I try to impose my will on God? You know? We need to recognize we want God's perfect will both here on earth and in heaven, like Jesus did. Verse 11, "Give us this day our daily bread." You know what that kind of says to me? Yeah, I mean, as a human, especially in America, you kind of almost take that for granted, right? Well, I'm going to eat. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of places in the world that that's a major issue. You know, you can just look outside to the animal kingdom. We had foxes in our yard a couple years ago before we got our dog again. But you see them go hunting. They spend the whole day in bringing food back to their pups and stuff. But they spend the whole day seeking food. Now, God provides for them just like he provides for us. You know, but what I kind of get out of this is what the Lord's trying to teach us here is live in the moment, you know, and recognize it all comes from God, right? We only need our current needs. So many times you want to say, well, oh, Lord, if I could just have so much money, or I could just be able to move to this house or get this, you know. Doesn't matter. Just live in the moment. Focus on the little stuff. He'll take care of all the rest. He'll provide. He'll guide us. You know, just take. It's like you're a lamp unto my feet. You know, in Bible times they had sandals, right? And they would walk in the dark at times, right? And they would have little lamps that they would put on their feet, on their sandals, and you know. You could see, as you're stepping out, you could see just enough to take that next step. You know, and then that the candle would, you know, you could see just enough for the next step. That's all we need to focus on is our here and now. And on the little things. You know, let God take care of the big things. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Isn't that neat? You know, when you go to prayer, man, I got this long list. Man, I need this. I want this to happen. I want this. You know, as humans, we're born very selfish, right? To me, it's only through salvation and learning from Jesus' examples that we learn to become selfless. If we're truly being selfless like Jesus is, he's more focused on how can I help others than he is focused on how can I help myself. Right? Forgive us our debts as we forgive others. Do we ever hold a grudge? Do I ever hold something against somebody? You know, I've got to learn to forget. Got to have, you know, a hard shell on our back, you know. Don't take things personal. No, you know, if you approach things, nobody should be able to offend you, you know. If we're getting offended, we're being too selfish. You know, are you keeping your eye out? Man, there's a need. You know, I can do that. Let me take care of that. Let me help somebody. Don't need to do it in, you know, I can do it anonymously too. You know, they don't need to know about it. But you just help, you know. We should be focused on what we can do for others. You know, and God will help us. He's going to help us with our debts, etc. But again, we should be focused on what we can do for others. And then, you know, he'll be willing to do for us. You know, we're doing our part. Verse 13. I'm going to do this in two parts, but again, not too long here. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. All right. So, what does that teach us? We need to seek the Lord to help us defeat Satan. Right? Satan and his demons are trying to trip us up. There's temptations all around us. You know, I mean, whether you believe it or not, you know, whether we can physically see it or not, we're in a spiritual battle, guys. You know? And Satan and the demons, they fight dirty. And as a human being, I've got no chance. I need to seek out the Lord. I need to seek out God through prayer and through the scripture and what he teaches me here you know, to help overcome that. And so 13b, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So how does he close it out? He's praising God. Right? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Isn't that true? God is in charge of everything in heaven and in earth and in all the galaxies, etc. You know, he created it all. He's in complete control of it. Even though we see all the mess around us, you know, we had the hailstorm, you know, and it gets a little nervous, especially if it breaks a skylight, you know, and it's coming in like it did the pastor and his wife. It gets you concerned, right, as a human being. God's in control. You know, that one, when he's walking out on the water, he calmed the storm. You know, he does that all the time. You know, he's in control of all that. He has all power, unlimited power, and he is forever. He always has been, always will be. So recognize who God is. Praise him, you know. In prayer, again, a lot of times we're focused on our requests. You know, focus on God. Praise him. Thank him. Amazing to have this relationship with him. Recognize that. It's easier to serve the Lord and be a good Christian when your God is big, when you focus on God. Because at the end of the day, as the Bible says, fear God, right? If you really learn and focus on who God is and what God is, there's nothing around us to be afraid of. Because until it's God's will, there's nothing on earth that can kill me. You know, God's going to take me home in his perfect timing. In whatever way he does it. So the last thing, I'm just going to quote 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that says, pray without ceasing. You know, we have an amazing ability. We have a God who loves us, who sent his son down here to die for us so that we can have a relationship with him, and that seeks out a personal relationship with each and every one of us. Take advantage of prayer. So Jim's going to come in here. I'm going to go ahead and pray. Jim's going to bring in here, and then he'll have the prayer sheets, and then we can split up in twos or threes and pray. And then when you're done, you can be dismissed. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you that we can have this relationship through your Son, Jesus, who was the perfect sacrifice for our sins that established this relationship that we can have with you. We thank you that you desire to have it with us. I pray, Lord, help us to follow this example that your Son gave us in Scripture to seek you out in prayer more frequently than we do. And, Lord, to take the time to pray for things as we ought to. Help us, Lord, to always desire your perfect will in everything that happens. And praise you and thank you, Lord, for what you do and what your perfect will is. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Jim has the